The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Fionn Davenport is back with me, the travel journalist and Lonely Planet author, with the ultimate guide to three Tuscan cities.
Three Tuscan cities that you mightn't necessarily think of. Well, one of them you're going to fly into, but the other two you mightn't consider.
So will we start with where we fly in, or should we start elsewhere?
Yeah, we can start
what order
Pisa.
Would you like to do this?
Yeah,
Pisa.
Pisa. So, and Pisa is one of those, it's like, sure, you might go to see the Leaning Tower, but then you're out of there.
Start in Pisa.
Stop.
That's bad.
That was terrible. But it's actually a nice city in its own right. It's a big student town. It's got a university, so it's quite youthful. The problem is with Pisa is the Campo di Piazza dei Miracoli, which is where the Leaning Tower is one of the only parts of the original city of Pisa, the medieval city, because half of it was destroyed during World War II. So a lot of it's very modern and not necessarily that appealing. But like you've got like nice museums and the aforementioned Piazza dei Miracoli, which is the square, Miracle Square.
And let's start then with Miracle Square.
Yeah.
Can you climb up the tower?
Yes, you can. The eighth floor climb, it's 200 and something steps. It takes about 30 minutes to climb because it's really narrow and you're going around. So the two things to bear in mind is you have to be comfortable in relatively small spaces.
Yeah.
And you have to be okay with not having vertigo or because it can be. Now, the only thing is like it's incredibly popular. So book well in advance.
Oh, you book a slot in advance. Okay.
Yeah. And the thing to bear in mind is like in the 90s, it had been sinking more or less since 1370, since it was built. But only in the 90s did they fix it at a lean, and that lean is now 3.97 degrees.
Oh, so it's not going to move anymore.
Not moving
anymore. They've reinforced the foundations or whatever, but they did it in such a way that they maintained the lean.
Yeah, it's called controlled sub-excavation.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay, yeah.
Obviously. But I remember when I was a kid, I'd go to Italy for the summers, and you'd see it on the news every so often. They'd like, the tower has lent another degree or another 2 degrees, and this is in the '70s, and be like people going, "Oh my God, what are we going to do? It's eventually going to fall." But no, in the '90s they managed to stabilize it, so it is stuck at this nearly 4 degree angle.
Yeah,
but it's not getting any worse.
Okay, so beyond the tower, what else is in Miracle Square?
Yeah,
is it worth going to
the Duomo, the cathedral?
All right, okay,
which is free to go into, and but you go into any shop, make a purchase, and you'll get a ticket for the Duomo, but it's free, and this is a Duomo that was built in 1063, so it's pretty, pretty old.
Okay.
Really beautiful Romanesque cathedral. Then the baptistry, which is directly in front of it, is really nice. It's the world's largest baptistry, and it has a very famous pulpit by an artist called Nicola Pisano, the Pisan, Nicola the Pisan. And then the Campo Santo, this incredible cemetery. So what Père Lachaise is to Paris,
yeah,
so the Campo Santo is to Pisa. And it got fire damage in the war, but it has these like unbelievable tombs dating back to the Middle Ages and the Renaissance.
Okay.
Really, really amazing. And then there's the museum. There's one in Florence as well called the Museo dell'Opera del Duomo, which all of the associated artworks, statuary, et cetera, that would have been connected to the Duomo are now housed in this museum.
And beyond the Piazza dei Miracoli in
eating. You can eat well.
In Pisa. Yeah, but I mean, is it worth going into the rest of the city, the more modern city, or is it just a generic
mid-century
modern city?
What it has, though, because I said, it has a big student population, so it's very, very kind of buzzy, and it's
vibrant,
got great bars,
and okay,
and really good restaurants.
Where to eat then in Pisa?
Numero 11, which means number 11. These are all nice trattoria. Trattoria Sant'Omobono, Osteria di Culegna, and the Trattoria d'Astelio. These are four absolutely brilliant restaurants in Pisa.
Okay.
So let's
that's
move on.
Pisa. So that's Pisa. That's where you're flying into.
Let's
where
move up
are
the
we
coast.
Going to next?
We're moving up the coast to Livorno. Livorno, nobody really goes to Livorno. More fools them. They really should. This is one of the youngest cities in Italy. It was only founded in 1606 by the Medici as a free port, because obviously Florence doesn't have access to the sea. So,
yeah,
so Livorno was founded, or Leghorn, as the English call it.
Like Foghorn, Leghorn.
Foghorn. Okay, you're just
Is he named for Livorno? Has he any connection to Livorno?
You're just tired, aren't you?
Tired and delirious.
Tired and delirious. But what it is that...
I say.
Yeah, so what it has is, like, because it was built as a freeport, so it attracted, like, people from all over Europe. So it's got this incredibly cosmopolitan vibe going back hundreds of years. So Armenians, Dutch, Jewish traders, English, Spanish, Greeks, and Venetian workers, and this is key, who built the houses, the churches, and the canals that run through the city.
Oh, there's canals
here. Livorno has, like, a Venetian-style canal network. It's not quite as beautiful or as impressive as the one you'd find in actual
Venice. And I assume then they were built for the same reason they were in Venice, because you'd have your bigger ships that come into the harbour, and then all your warehouses would be serviced by these canals.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, little boats coming off. And so, appositely, it's called the La Venezia, or the Venetian Quarter. And it's really, really beautiful. So you start at Piazza della Repubblica, and it's got lined with statues of the Medici. And then you just kind of get to the Fortezza Nuova, with the new fortress. And this is, again, 16th century fortress. You've got a lovely church, which has work by Giorgio Vasari, an important artist. What it is for me, Livorno, other than just its attractions, and I think it's a lovely place to go to, the food is amazing. Maybe to do with this mix of Italian, but this cosmopolitan identity. Mm. And so there's an amazing market called, or it's actually two markets, Mercato della Vettovaglie, and then there's the Mercato Centrale. These are two covered markets that do unbelievable food. So the things to bear in mind, local dishes are cacciucco, which is fish and tomato soup poured over bread. Then there's baccalà alla Livornese, which is fried cod, again, in a tomato sauce. But the ultimate takeaway sandwich that in Livorno everyone eats is called the 5 and 5, the cinque and cinque. And it's basically, it's a kind of chickpea pancake. And it's called the 5 and 5 because in the 1930s, workers would buy it, and it used to cost 5 lire to get bread and then 5 for the filling.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And that's available, that's kind of ubiquitous
everywhere
around the city.
The two places are Gagarin, which is, they get queues outside. So it's like, I mean, literally, this, like, you get it for 270. It's not, you know, it's not. And then there's another place on the other side of the canal at Sigieri, it's called, which has also pizzas. But, like, really good seafood in the city.
Yeah, loads of nice seafood restaurants.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So that's Leghorn, Livorno. Where are we going to next?
Lucca. So Lucca is kind of, so Lucca's between Pisa and Florence.
Okay, yeah.
And what Lucca has, and Lucca's, I mean, the great undiscovered city, except for it's been discovered by lots and lots of people, so it's not undiscovered at all, but it's lesser visited compared to Florence. And more the shame, because it's got this perfectly preserved set of Renaissance walls. Lucca's beautiful. And I have no idea why people go to Bologna, but not to Lucca. I think they're, like, absolutely amazing. It's got, like, this very nice blend of Roman history, because it was, it was founded in Roman times. So it's got these, like, beautiful villas and these marble churches linked by these really, really beautiful archways.
Somebody's texted in to say, is Lucca where the Pixar movie is based? That's set on the coastline. Isn't it? That's the whole premise of it.
What?
Lucca's not on the coastline, isn't it not?
What Pixar movie?
Doesn't matter, Fionn. You don't need to know. Texter, it is not where the movie is set.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know. I don't know which. I don't know. Now I'm trying to think of which Pixar movie would be set.
It's called Lucca.
Oh, it's called Lucca.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, it's a bit like Casablanca, which really is theoretically set in Marrakesh, but called Casablanca.
Yeah. What is the what's the catchphrase in Lucca, the movie that they all anyway, it doesn't matter. I can't remember. My kids loved it in lockdown. It was a huge COVID movie.
Okay.
I think Pixar released it on Disney Plus because of COVID. Anyway. We digress.
But then again, that's part
Silencio
of the charm.
Silencio Bruno.
Oh, is it Silencio Bruno?
Yes, the voice in your head, you know. Silencio Bruno. Very you know, good. Just do it.
I mentioned the city walls.
Yeah.
So these were built in the 16th century and they're 12 meters high. You know, so what's that, 12 by 3? So that's 36 feet.
Okay.
Like, they're considerable. And they're the amongst the best preserved in Europe. I'd say maybe the best preserved.
Yeah.
Because they were never tested in siege, so they remained intact. So everyone more or less left Lucca alone.
I would love to see this place.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I loved Carcassonne, but that's just a reimagination. That's a Disneyfied version. Like they built that in the 19th century or something to make it look medieval.
Yeah, and it's a bit, yeah, Carcassonne, I mean, Carcassonne is gorgeous, but it's also like absolutely thronged.
Oh yeah, it is. It's brutal. Yeah, it's brutal. But this is the real deal. This is the medieval deal.
Now, when I say that it's undiscovered, I'm being tongue-in-cheek. Of course it's been discovered, but it gets relatively fewer visitors than, for example, go to Siena, for instance. Siena is like, walking around Siena is like exiting a football stadium.
Yeah.
At full time. It's just like, oh my God, how can there be so many people? But whereas in Lucca, you get like far, far fewer. So I mentioned the city walls. The Cathedral of St. Martin, which is, again, Romanesque cathedral, and pilgrims have been going there as part of this long, I think it's the Via Francigena, I think it's like the runs right through Europe. Anyway, but they've been going since the Middle Ages. It's got like incredible artwork by famous Italian Renaissance artists, Ghirlandaio, Lippi, Tintoretto, and then Puccini. So Puccini, Giacomo Puccini,
yeah,
author of Madame Butterfly and others and Turandot. So he is from, he was born here in 1858, and the Puccini Museum has all of his manuscripts, personal belongings. And then in nearby Torre del Lago, which is on the coastline, this is where Puccini went. He had a villa there. They have like an annual festival of operas by Puccini, which is absolutely superb. Like just like the amphitheater in Verona hosts opera during the summer season. So Torre del Lago hosts this amazing Puccini
festival.
I'm
loving the sound of Lucca and the surrounds. I mean, what am I eating when I'm there?
Okay, so I'm going to recommend again four restaurants. Buca di Sant'Antonio means the whole of St. Anthony. I mean, that's what it actually means.
Right, yeah.
So this is does like classic Lucchese dishes. So handmade tortellini, gli orti di Via Elisa, which means the vineyards of Via Elisa, has like, again, local dishes, gramofono. Yeah. And then a place called Ristorante Giglio, which is Michelin starred. So way more expensive than the other three. But if you want...
Than the whole of St. Anthony.
Than the whole of St. Anthony. But if you, like, you are a man who enjoys a blowout dinner or two, you know.
Yeah.
So Ristorante Giglio would be
I like
you.
The sound of it. I'm loving Lucca.
Lucca's gorgeous. Oh, no, listen. Honest to God. It is, yeah.
And we'll talk to you at the same time next week. Fiona Davenport will be back with the ultimate guide to somewhere else equally beautiful, I am sure.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.